What's up, ladies and gentlemen out there in internet land, and welcome to episode 385 of the Straight Shooters, available wherever podcasts are found. My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone and Fox PHL, the gambler and Philly influencer, and we have a special guest in the building. He is known as at Under the Ring on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. He hosts a podcast called Under the Ring as well, which is celebrated its 100th episode. I'm talking, of course, about my USA Today brethren, Phil Strum. Phil, how are you tonight, my good brother?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing fantastic. Glad to hear that you are as well. But we have a serious topic to discuss. Isn't that correct, fellas? We got...
Unfortunately, yeah.
We have the... In the form of this lawsuit, potentially, that was filed last week against WWE and Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis, the most salacious scandal in the history of pro wrestling, potentially. Of course, that lawsuit has, in its 67 pages, a slew of, some of the most vividly graphic, detailed allegations I think I've ever read in a lawsuit, ever. So, Phil, I just want to get your quick reactions. The first time you read that lawsuit, what went through your head, and how will, in totality, people remember Vince McMahon coming out of this? Obviously, his legacy was already very complicated to begin with, but it dramatically changes now after this.
Yeah, as I read through the lawsuit the day that it came out, I actually read the lawsuit before I read any news coverage on it, which was an odd direction to go in because I didn't have a Wall Street Journal subscription, so I didn't read the Wall Street Journal story, but I did have the direct link to the lawsuit. And as you go page by page in it, I kept thinking like, oh gosh, this is the worst it's going to be. And then I turned the page and was like, nope, that's actually the worst it's going to be. And it just kept getting worse and worse as you went through it. In terms of Vince McMahon's legacy, that's really tricky because, you know, it's, these are allegations and there's a whole process that needs to go on here legally before anybody is liable for anything or before anybody is guilty of anything. But, we've seen a glimpse of him here. It's not a good look. There's been a number of other allegations against him before. According to the reports last year, there were quite a few NDAs that were signed and quite a bit of hush money that was sent to different people as well. So while obviously he is the guy who has created essentially the platform the WWE is on now, and he, you know, the whole company has kind of been presented in his image for the last 40 years. That said, they need to move on now. I'm going to be interested from a, you know, kind of postscript or even sort of while it's going on perspective to see what that Netflix documentary that's being produced about him looks like, what any other things about him that are produced by people, books and stuff like that, that are written about him. Because, you know, the key part of all this to me is this is the most powerful figure in the history of the wrestling industry that this is occurring to. So no matter which way you slice the negatives and all the positives that he is, you know, unfortunately for him, the last thing people hear about you is the one that they probably remember the most.
Yeah, that's true. And like we said, like his legacy was already rather complicated going into this, and it already had a number of allegations in the past. Even just his business practices, you know, how he grew the company was in some ways, some people will say unscrupulous in some ways. So yeah, this is definitely taking a turn here. Nick, I'll go to you. Your reaction, because I haven't spoken to you about it since this drop. And I asked the same question to you too. I asked to Phil, what is Vince McMahon's legacy coming out of this, his already complicated legacy? What is it now after this lawsuit drops?
I do think it's fine to, say, yeah, the WWE wouldn't be where it is without Vince, and maybe leave it at that, because we don't need to give the man his flowers. This is what he will be reminded. This lawsuit is what people will think of Vince McMahon. Now, I have seen so far, like conversations that I didn't even know who Vince McMahon was until, you know, I heard about this lawsuit. So for some people that aren't in that wrestling bubble like we are, Vince McMahon is not really a household name, despite what, you know, he wants to think, and people, wrestling executives or WWE or NBC, TKO, despite what they want to think, Vince McMahon is not as big a household name as they do think. So there's people that are just going to know him from this. And to me, you're right. Like, there's been past allegations, and we kind of like understand that it's not great. And we knew he wasn't that great of a person based on these allegations from the past. And we've even talked about it on this podcast before. Of course, this lawsuit dropped the day after we recorded our last show here, but we did touch on it on the Royal Rumble roundtable of Fox Sports The Gambler. We had to touch on it. I mean, if you're a wrestling, if you host a wrestling show or you're in the wrestling bubble, like, how do you not talk about it? So, you know, we mentioned it on there, but now we can kind of like dive into it a little bit here on the next, our next episode. And some of the things I read, and I remember, I think I texted you right away, and it's just like, the lawsuit, it wasn't just like an article. The lawsuit was available to read itself. And I think that's what people really gravitated towards. Like, they're reading this from an actual like federal document where there's tangible evidence now of Vince McMahon and his practices in the workplace, and just the type of behavior he's been doing. Like, this isn't just a one-off, you know. There was multiple NDAs talked about 2 years ago that has nothing to do with Janelle Grant and this lawsuit. So you are left to wonder how many more women are out there that have similar stories. And I'm sure there's a lot. And even talent that works for him, you know, one of the first things people started doing was talking about Ashley Massaro. And that just kind of put it in perspective, like, geez, like, what's going on here? Like, not only that, but how much did people know? How many people knew? Yeah. And then Triple H not having to, not trying to focus on the positive, but making it even worse in a way after the Royal Rumble at the press conference, when Cody was asked a question and he answered it about as well as you could in that situation. And then you have that. We're like, why is Cody answering the question better than the guy that's, for all intents and purposes, running the ship right now in WWE? So it's not going to go away. You know, it's not going to be something that's gone by WrestleMania here in Philly. It is Vince's own doing. You know, let's not sugarcoat it. Like, there's a reason this is happening.
Let's keep in mind, I mean, these are still just allegations, technically, you know, and he has to be held liable or however the process proceedings go. This is a civil lawsuit as well, so it's not a criminal one. Maybe there could be some criminal charges coming out of this, because there are some criminal allegations, so to speak, that are levied against him. They are considered, I should say, they should consider crimes he's been accused of in this lawsuit. So nothing yet, but that doesn't mean there's not anything that could potentially pop up in the future. But yeah, I was just curious to see, because again, this is just a lawsuit, but will he now become like persona non grata on WWE TV? You know, or
he's already been edited out of sometimes.
Right. Like, it's just as many times as he's done that to other people. In some cases, you know, understandably, with Chris Benoit, understand why he was never spoken of again on WWE television. But there's other people who didn't do anything remotely close to what Benoit did in his final days, and they were also like just excommunicated off of WWE television for one reason or another. And now, because of this, WWE probably should do the same thing to him. It's just so wild how we've come to this point. And obviously, you know, for good reason, if WWE went that route, I'd perfectly understand. I mean, the sponsor, they lost a sponsor, and as soon as Vince was resigned, the sponsor came back. So I'd imagine that, yeah, they're not going to really celebrate Vince in any way. You're not going to see too much footage of him because you don't want to upset the sponsor at this point, because obviously money talks. But it's just the irony of that is just so, it's kind of wild. It's kind of fascinating to think about that he ran his industry with an iron fist for decades, and now he could be potentially excommunicated and shunned from the industry that he helped make, essentially. So yeah, that's just kind of wild to me how that's a wild turn of events, in my opinion.
I think being able to read these things is really what's hammering home for a lot of people. Like, we could hear about the scandals from before, like the steroid scandal. I could listen to podcasts about it. The Ring Boys scandal, I can listen to podcasts, read articles about it, but I wasn't like there, you know, like I was just watching wrestling. Like, I wasn't knowing about anything behind the scenes at that point. This is like the first tangible thing I can read about something that happened only a few years ago. You know, it's not like this is old news. Like, this is legit. This is post COVID. You know, I mean, it didn't start post-COVID, but it's so recent that it's really hard to describe, like, just reading these things and knowing that it literally started maybe, what, 5 years ago? But
according to the complaint, it was in around WrestleMania in 2019. I forget the exact date.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, COVID happened and it just continued. Having a tangible physical document, you can literally print it out. Like, but reading it online is just, it hits home differently because, yes, it's recent, but there's like, I guess, words to the story type thing where we just heard things back then. I felt like, you know, there wasn't a lot of evidence.
I would say, and Phil, you can attest to this. I would say there have been lawsuits. There have been reports. Like, Phil, I know you've probably read some of these things from the past. But you can attest to that. Like, there've been documented cases of allegations against Vince McMahon in the past. Correct?
Yeah, he's been sued plenty of times. And I think for me, what jumps out to me the most is, you know, we're talking about like what happens to him, what happens to his image, what happens to his legacy. To me, what it's all going to come down to here is WWE going to make positive changes to its own culture, both for its employees and for its independent contractors, who, by the way, for all intents and purposes, probably should be employees anyway, because they can't really work anywhere else. That's the whole other legal aspect. But, you know,
yeah, what if that changes now?
They've been misclassified forever. Yeah. But like, it's the culture of WWE for those two groups, and it's the culture of pro wrestling, because it's like, okay, you know, if Vince McMahon was still going to try to linger around pro wrestling somewhere, would there be somebody who would bring him in and do stuff with him? There's always somebody in wrestling, unfortunately, who will go and bring in the controversial person that no one else is bringing in. There's very few people I can think of who completely were out, who, unless they were incarcerated. So, I mean, that's the unfortunate truth about pro wrestling. The culture needs to change really badly, because what I read in this suit was people were afraid to, you know, go against him. People were afraid to anger him. And from what Janelle Grant is alleging, people were afraid to just, you know, sort of exist outside of his will. And that can't happen in any, nobody should be that big in a company. And anybody who supported it or, you know, helped him, aided, abetted, I guess you could say, like, should be out. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if TKO is going to have the temerity to do that, but it's going to be an interesting several months as they take a closer look at this. So I just think the company and the industry needs to look inward a little bit at who are we not protecting.
Right. And I don't know if you guys agree. I don't feel like you know, like I said, this potential for names to come out and discovery potentially, and TKO may have to make some decisions about those people. But is it possible that they don't, that no one loses their jobs here, that no one, that there isn't a sweeping cultural change, at least personnel wise within WWE? Is that a potential possibility? Do you foresee that, Phil?
I think it's impossible that nobody else loses their job. Also, I mean, already with this, these two have already lost their jobs. Laurinaitis was already fired over this.
Yeah.
And McMahon already resigned, technically, I guess is the word this time for him.
Yeah.
But
in quotations, yeah.
Yeah, last time he retired, this time he resigned. but I don't see a way that TKO lets this get to discovery if they can avoid it, because they're really, as a company, going to want to avoid it. Because I don't know, as I said on my own show this past week, I don't know what's in Vince's phone, if that gets subpoenaed. And there's all sorts of different things that expose them to a lot of legal jeopardy if a lot of this is true and if a lot of this comes out. So they're going to do anything in their power, I think, payment-wise, to make sure that this goes away from their perspective. I don't know about McMahon and Laurinaitis, what they'll be able to do individually to avoid anything here too. McMahon obviously couldn't or didn't make the payments of the $2 million to her to keep the NDA going. So I don't know where that's going to go, but I just now I lost my train of thought a little bit, I don't see any way that TKO doesn't have to reset a little bit here. And I don't know what that means for Paul Levesque. I don't know what that means for Bruce Pritchard or anybody else who has, you know, just because you're close to Vince McMahon doesn't necessarily mean that he brought you in as close to know him on that personal inside kind of level. So, like, while some people are immediately saying all of the names you'd expect to hear from people who are tied to Vince McMahon, we honestly don't know those people and their intimate knowledge of what Vince does behind closed doors. I don't know who he brings into that circle.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing in that lawsuit that indicates, you know, they don't name anyone really outside of John Laurinaitis as a person that, and he's being sued in the, you know, he's in the complaint,
right,
as a defendant. So other than that, even the, you know, UFC heavyweight champion isn't named. You know, we guess who that is. There's not too many UFC heavyweight champions that have been involved with WWE. On a talent level, at least,
talks to sign a new contract.
Right. You know,
there's only three I can even think of.
Right. You can narrow that down pretty quick, but technically, I don't remember him being named as literally the name in the lawsuit. But as far as like the other people, members of the organization, for those who haven't read it, which trigger warning if you do, but if you haven't, there are people named WWE corporate officer number one, WWE corporate officer number two. I think there's four corporate officers identified in the complaint. There's WWE employee number one. I forget there's how many of those employees that they have identified in there. Again, anonymous as of now, but as you said, Phil, if they go to discovery, those people will probably be outed in some way, shape, or form, and who knows what happens from there. So like you said, TKO probably doesn't want discovery at the end of the day. But again, this is just beginning. That complaint was literally just the beginning of the proceedings. There are more to go. I'm not a legal eagle by any stretch, but I know that this is not the end. So more is going to come out. We'll see what happens when we get there. Nick, I don't know if you had one final thought.
Before, like, and we all have like opinions about this. We've all lost our train of thought in the last 20 minutes talking about this, because there's so much information in here that, you know, yes. And me knowing, yeah, Vince was sued in the past, but like, I don't know, maybe it's the immediacy of it. Maybe it is the immediacy of it, and the fact that I literally read the lawsuit as it dropped. You know, I saw the Wall Street article, and boom, like, it was available on Twitter. I think Brandon Thurston first posted it on Twitter, and I clicked it, and I was reading it like literally 20 minutes after it broke. So the immediacy of it really, and it was like, plus Royal Rumble weekend, you know, like, we're all jazzed up for the Royal Rumble and not obviously expecting something like this to come out at, really, I don't think any of us expected at all something like this, like when we read it. And then it just got worse and worse.
How can you expect this? I don't expect something like this. And I've read my share of lawsuits. You know, it's not. Right. I've never seen anything as detailed and as graphic as this one.
And I think that's what's hammered home for me.
I don't think TKO expected it either, which is an important point to make, because I think that they thought that all the legal problems regarding Vince McMahon were pretty much gone. And then, you know, that said, they did list him as a risk factor on their filings with the SEC. So they were aware that there was a chance that keeping him on when our Emmanuel did, when they merged the companies, was a risk to their business. I think the longer he sticks around, the longer their name is attached to this suit, it negatively potentially impacts any deal that they're going to make. They made one of the biggest deals, if not the biggest deal in their company's history, earlier in the same week with the $5 billion possibly plus Netflix deal early in the week. You know, the biggest movie star in the world joined their board of directors in the same week. And then this happened. So, like, how many more things could happen in 1 week in WWE? I don't know. But, you know, it's just, you can't let this linger around if you're WWE. You need to not only take care of it, but you also need to address internal concerns. There are people there who are going to be concerned about this. There are people that are asking their superiors questions about this. People want to know. You know, I'm sure some people are just going to say, hey, you know what? Paul Levesque's my guy. I like Paul Levesque. Keep him in there. He's fine. He didn't have anything to do with it. But there's other people in that company. You know, you're just starting out in that company. Say it's your first day in the WWE Performance Center, or your first week in the WWE Performance Center. This drops. Are you not asking somebody a question?
Yeah.
You know, I just signed a contract for what? You know?
Right. Yeah. It might be up there as one of the biggest scandals for a company ever. Like, it's that bad. There's a lot of bad companies in the world. Right. But usually see a lot of like embezzlements, like stealing of money and stuff like that. And you see, you know, obviously there have been others, you know, sexual assault type things that happened as well. But I don't think I've ever seen anything to this extent. So this just goes beyond biggest scandal in wrestling history. Potentially, it's one of the bigger corporate scandals I've ever been, I can be privy to, that I can think of off the top of my head. It's not going away anytime soon. But in the midst of all of this, before we make our awkward transition to other topics, I did want to mention that, you know, obviously there's a victim, you know, alleged victim in this, in Janelle Grant. And if you are a victim of sexual assault, there is help available. There's an organization out there called RAIN, which Mick Foley, WWE Hall of Famer, has been affiliated with in the past. They help abuse victims, recover. And if you need help 24 hours a day, there is a number that you could call. It's 1-800-656-HOPE, 4673. So again, 1-800-656-HOPE. And that is HOPE is 4673. So again, we want to make sure we definitely shed light on the victims and make sure, and if you are a victim or you know someone who's a victim, reach out to RAIN, call that hotline, and get the help that you deserve, honestly. Let's make the awkward transition to other WWE business, more scrupulous business in the wrestling product that they have going on right now, which is in flux a little bit coming out of the Royal Rumble, because if you haven't heard, their biggest free agent signing in recent memory, CM Punk, is injured. Torn triceps. I think the reporting is that he's out 4 to 6 months, which of course puts him out of WrestleMania in Philadelphia. Sorry, Philly wrestling fans. We won't get to see Punk in Philly this year. Maybe next year, whenever WrestleMania is. They haven't announced the WrestleMania's venue yet for next year, but no CM Punk in Philly this year. The general train of thought was that he was going to main event WrestleMania night one against CM Punk. That's out the window. And it opens the door for a plethora of other opportunities. Phil, first question. If CM Punk was the opponent for WrestleMania, which it certainly seemed that way, who do you tap to replace him in that position to challenge Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Oh boy. there's so many ways you could go, and it also, some of it might depend on certain people's availability too. The easy choice for me is having the undefeated Intercontinental Champion Gunther wrestle Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. I think it makes the most sense. They already set the table for it on Raw with the Gunther-Seth exchange when Seth came out with a knee injury after the match with Jinder Mahal. Gunther has everything you're going to look for in the way that you're presenting WWE right now. He's been one of the best guys of the company. One of the things that might impact that is I don't believe Gunther is currently able to leave the United States of America because he's establishing residency as part of his visa, last report that I heard. So I don't even think he's available to wrestle at Elimination Chamber in Perth because I don't think he's allowed to go. So I don't know if that changes anything because they have a very ambitious PLE and live event schedule in 2024. And you kind of need your champion to be able to be around if you're doing that.
That's a fair point.
The other one that I think makes the most sense if he ends up in WWE is Kazuchika Okada. I can't think of a better... I mean, Rollins then at that point would just be the I wrestle new guys at WrestleMania guy because he got Cody's first one too. So, but if Okada's there, you want to... If he ends up in WWE by WrestleMania, which his contract is up, I think we're recording this at the end of January. I think it's up February 1st.
Yeah, I think it's either today or tomorrow.
Yeah, I think this is it. So, yeah, you can't debut him with anything less than a big splash. So that would be the biggest one to me. You'd have to explain how he deserves to be the number one contender for a championship in a company he hasn't been in, but WWE can figure that out. They've given lesser people title shots before. He's literally coming off of a title defense against Jinder Mahal, who hadn't had a singles match in a year and a half.
Right.
So
we can give it to the guy who has money rained out of the sky every time he makes an entrance. That's, I'm fine with that. Nick.
It's first time match too.
Yeah, that's yeah. Look, I'd be here for it. I mean, it's unfortunate to lose Punk, and it's unfortunate for anybody to get injured. But if the replacement is Okada, I ain't mad at that. Like, see you next year, Punk. like it's for the Cubs. He's a Cubs fan. He understands what that means. We'll always have next year. All right. I think he thought about that too when he sat down on Raw. Yeah. You know, there's always next year. It's like he's a Cubs fan. He's used to saying that, and it's not a knock. It's just that's just how it is. They took a long time to win a World Series. Over 100 years. But Nick, I'll flip it to you. Where are your options? What are you looking at as far as Seth Rollins' potential opponents at WrestleMania now that CM Punk is injured?
If you asked me before Monday night, I would have agreed with Phil. Gunther would have been the perfect choice, I think. But Monday swayed me.
Oh.
Drew McIntyre, man. Why not? Why not? You have two stories there. Obviously, the one with Seth, you can move into that. Punk gets healthy, comes back. You have that. And then once Seth is healthy, and hopefully Punk stays healthy, then you can have maybe a little turn. Maybe Seth is a heel and Punk is a face. I know Punk kind of works better as a heel. He entertains more people as a heel. But you have Seth, you know, get jealous that Punk came back, won the title before, you know, he could get healthy. Like, I don't know if Seth is going to have surgery. They never really explain that. They're like, I guess his injury is not bad enough to that he doesn't.
Yeah, it's an MCL, right? Yeah,
it's MCL and meniscus too.
Yeah, so those. Yeah. I mean, if it's not torn, he may not need surgery. It may be strained or something like that. But it's something that is going to take physical therapy to get through. Right. Which I've had my share of knee physical therapy, and it sucks. So. Yeah,
partially torn MCL, and I think the meniscus was less so than the MCL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I could see them kind of play up. Yeah, they're still gonna do Punk and Seth, I think, at some point. Punk's injury reportedly is anywhere from 4 to 6 months, I think they said.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Not terrible. Not like a terrible time frame where people are gonna forget about Punk and Seth. So if you have Drew win the title at WrestleMania and feud with, you know, have like a feud before Punk comes back, have Seth take some time off, you know, get himself right. If he, or even storyline, you know, just have him take some time off. Punk comes back, beats Drew, and then you have Seth, you know, you just basically swap the roles. And I think that's a good way to go, like, through the year, given the nature of how they have to change the WrestleMania scene around. And as soon as Drew DDT Punk at the Rumble, you saw him grab his elbow, grab his tricep. You knew something was wrong. You know, like, you, when you see wrestlers sell, and when you've been watching as long as we have, you kind of like can tell whether they're selling or not. And you hope you're wrong if you think they're not selling. So I was hoping, you know, he was just selling, and he looked pretty good at the end of the match. So it had me questioning myself. Well, okay, maybe he didn't hurt himself. Maybe he was selling, but I just had that feeling. And then there was videos after the fact that he was on the ground outside the ring, you know, grabbing his tricep area. So I was like, man, I just, that would be the luck CM Punk has, you know, coming back, and same opposite tricep that he tore in AEW as well. It's just like, man, like, I feel bad for the guy, but you know, he seemed to be, he had a hell of a promo out of it, and he, Drew coming out saying, I prayed for this, like, that's such a good way to go with the flow, right? You know, yeah, it's sense. Not a bunch of insider stuff. It's Drew sticking to his character, first of all, and then creating a story down the road that you can possibly use when Punk's healthy. And if Drew resigns, like, I know, you know, his contract's up soon. There's no reports that he's resigned, or, you know, I don't think there's even reports of when his contract ends, but it's, you know, based on what I've heard, it's just relatively soon. You know, they lock him up, give him a title reign as a heel, and then just have Punk come in and, you know, get his revenge, you know, based on what happened on Raw. But that really set it up for me on Raw. That was about as good as they could have dealt with that change in the WrestleMania plans that I think they could have done.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre is, I think, as hot as he's been since he's been back in WWE. And I know he's,
I agree.
And that's saying something, considering he was a babyface WWE champion a couple of years ago, albeit during the pandemic. But even before that, when he was a heel, when he first came back, he wasn't like this. Like, this is great. He's talking, he's being honest, you know, he's speaking the truth in some ways. And then he goes on Raw and says, I prayed for nights like this. I prayed for this to happen. I was like, wow. He's a shoe win for player hater.
He's the one
that
gave Punk the DDT too. So you have
right.
That.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
I like about that too is that it can be Drew, who the big thing about him was that he won the world title in front of no one at the WrestleMania when he was the biggest babyface, and now if he wins the title in front of a full crowd that hates him, it's the exact opposite. The interesting thing about him too is I'm thinking back now to the stuff before that run where he won the Rumble and he won the title. 2019 Mania as a heel, he had the Roman Reigns comeback match at WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
that. I was actually at too. So it wasn't a real big spot where he was over, but that was a big spot on the card to be in on that WrestleMania. So
that's true. That WrestleMania seems like a distant memory. That's
I was there, about, and it was really, really, really long. It was the last one day WrestleMania.
Oh, God, yeah. They would go past.
I was there for like 8 hours.
God,
I remember that. Yeah.
Tony Nese and Buddy Murphy all the way to Ronda Rousey.
Nice. We had to see Tony Nese and Buddy Murphy in broad daylight in MetLife Stadium.
Hawkins and Ryder beating FTR, you know, all sorts of fun stuff.
All the great stuff. Yeah. But as far as Seth Rollins' opponent, I think Drew McIntyre is on fire right now, I think I'm going to stick with my pick before CM Punk even showed up, and that will be Gunther. However, Gunther's got this little thing now with the New Day. And, you know, it's three members of Imperium. Two members of New Day. They had a third member. He's kind of around again. He's at the Royal Rumble. He's doing a lot of media during the Royal Rumble, you know, week leading up to the Royal Rumble. Made some more appearances. He did make a lot of appearances for the USFL last year too, which I found odd. I don't know why he was making so many appearances for the Michigan team in the USFL. He's not from Michigan. Didn't play in Michigan in college. Played in Iowa. So I don't know why. But he was there. But he made a lot more appearances, wrestling appearances this past week. So That guy, of course, is Big E. I haven't heard anything about specifically him coming back, but if you, it makes sense to, if he is healthy enough to come back, which I would hope so. I would hope that Big E can come back and can wrestle just like he did before, outside of taking the bump through the ropes where he would do the spear. We can take that out of the arsenal.
Yeah.
But I hope he's back and better than ever, like Eric Bischoff. If I just don't know if they'll spin Gunther out of that with Big E in some way. That's the only thing that's really like cementing it for me that it's going to be Gunther, because that's still a thing.
The one thing I wouldn't like if it was Gunther and Rollins is that beating Gunther for the Intercontinental title actually means something for someone to pull it off now.
Yes.
Like, it was really cool when Chad Gable had his near misses, and you're like, man, is he going to be the guy? No, he's not the guy. But if I want to see Gunther get that spot, but I would hate to waste. I don't want it to be like Warrior post WrestleMania 6, where he goes in and he just wins the title as Intercontinental Champion, and then you just have a tournament, because you've wasted a 400, whatever. I don't even know what number he's at right now.
I think he's up to 600.
Yeah, I was going to say Honky Tonk Man was 4 something. So yeah, he's got to be. He's got to be somewhere in the sixes now, but somebody, Big E would be a really good guy to end that.
I think so too.
As his comeback.
And I think it could happen in like in the main event of a Raw, so you don't have to worry about getting him to Australia for Elimination Chamber in any way. They've main evented Raw with Gunther in the past. The matches are obviously, you know, bangers, so they're comfortable with doing that again. It'd be worthy of a main event if it's potentially, again, this is all speculation. If it's Big E, it'd be worth it. But also, a part of me is like, Big E is a former WWE champion. Is he above the IC title now? Like, I'd like to see him get back in that picture as far as world championships. But I agree with you, though, Phil. Gunther, if he were to challenge Seth, I think should lose the Intercontinental Championship beforehand. Do you beat him to do it? I think that's a really good question, because you could do like a triple threat or a fatal four-way and have somebody else get beat. But that heat transfer, like you talked about, that's an opportunity. Like the same thing you want to do with Roman Reigns when he loses the title. Somebody beats him, they kind of get that heat now from Roman Reigns. You want that same type of deal to happen with Gunther. So, yeah, CM Punk getting injured really did throw this into a tizzy, kind of. And
Brock Lesnar being implicated or alluded to in this lawsuit also changed things a lot too, because apparently Brock was going to be going for the Intercontinental title against Gunther in the original idea for WrestleMania. So, and that I think answers your question of, you know, is so-and-so beneath the Intercontinental title? If they were going to have Brock Lesnar going for the Intercontinental title, then, I mean, that's as big of a star as they have. So I think Gunther has just elevated that title so much far. I can't remember any time ever watching wrestling where this title was more relevant than it is right now.
And we've been watching for a long time. And I honestly agree with you. Outside of Warrior, maybe when Warrior had it, but they didn't beat Warrior, so it kind of hurt it, I think.
The interesting thing about the history of the Intercontinental title, too, I was reading about this, I think it was in Bob Backlund's biography of all things, but like the title was actually created because they wanted like guys like Pat Patterson and Ken Patera to headline other house shows that were not going to be headlined by the world champion. And it was sort of just given to them as like a, okay, we didn't give you the big title, but we still think a lot of you to be able to headline shows. So, you know, they were headliners back then. Patera could have been champion in the Backlund era. Patterson could have been champion in the Backlund era, but they weren't. So it's always kind of like the idea of it originally was the belt that's like not quite, but almost, you know, like, so it's interesting to me that they've got, I mean, it in many ways, it's more important than the title that Seth has, because he's held it longer than that title has existed.
He has. He feels like the final boss on Raw, as not as much as Seth Rollins does, but it's Gunther. And I think you bring up a good point, how it's become like, I guess they call it the stepping stone title. Like this is stepping stone to, you know, the world title. I think they've done the same thing. I think they will, at least with the U.S. title, because my prediction with that is that is Logan Paul versus LA Knight for the U.S. title. And I think LA Knight beats Logan Paul, and he's now obviously super over because he beats Logan Paul, but also he's got gold now. And we can see him run as a champion and potentially after that's done, and, you know, maybe get a world title shot again. But that's just, I do like how WWE has managed to make both of those titles in a lot of ways, but especially the IC title feel that important. Moving on to another question regarding, you know, the CM Punk's injury. Does Cody Rhodes choose Seth Rollins? Is there a chance? I mean, it's got to be slim, right? But is there not a chance?
He better as hell not.
There's no
I don't want to see that match, first of all. And that's not the story. I understand they want to build suspense and kind of drag it out. It is only January still. It's, right. You know, we still got 2+ months. But, yeah, Cody's supposed to be on SmackDown this week. We're recording this on a Wednesday night, so he's supposed to appear. That doesn't mean he's going to call out Roman Reigns. It doesn't mean he's going to make his decision. That wasn't said yet at the time of this recording. But, yeah, I like teasing it because Seth, you know, he's kind of like, choose me instead of the guy that's never here. Like, Seth has a reason. He wants to be in the main event of WrestleMania. Like, he has every reason in the world to want that match. But, yeah, Cody has no, like, calling it the Dusty title. Like, get the hell out of here. Like, also, I understand why you got to, like, build that suspense, but get out of here. Nah, man.
The son of a plumber title.
Cody Reigns. But now, if Cody loses, then I'll revisit this. But, yeah, it's got to be Cody Reigns.
What was that, Phil?
These guys like each other. Why? I mean, because, like, in storyline, even, like, there is a reason for them to wrestle, but not at WrestleMania. Like, Seth still hasn't beaten Cody. Cody Never. Beat him three right. times in a right. row on the streak that he said that he went on. He even beat him with half a chest in the Hell in a Cell. Oh, and then Seth attacked him on Raw and laid him out for months. So, like, really, their respect that came off of their Survivor Series team really shouldn't be there right now. And I don't know why they were so lovey-dovey on Raw. Yeah. Because, like, they should be faces who, like, can coexist with each other as partners, but don't really like each other that much because they were so much heat in the angle that they did. And it's kind of just like, now Seth's like, oh, come on. Wouldn't you want to do this for your dad?
Did Seth like, even, no. He didn't even mention the three losses, right?
He did because Cody did mentioned okay. during the press conference about like, and I beat Seth Rollins three times,
right.
and then I did this, okay. you know, that.
Well, I didn't know if Seth mentioned it during their promo. On
he did. Or... He referenced the press conference of Cody okay. running okay. through his resume.
Gotcha. It's so hard to pay attention to a 3-hour Raw, man. Even when there's a promo, I'm in and out sometimes, so I miss that line. But at least they referenced it. You know, like yeah. you got to have those callbacks in wrestling for sure.
Yeah, I don't see a world where Cody challenges Seth. It just feel like a letdown. Like, oh, what, really? That's what we're doing? And why would you choose
that? LA versus Roman again? But like, no, I want to see Cody Roman just because.
Right.
That's the match. Wrestling story. You know?
That's the match. That's the biggest match they did last year. That's the biggest match they could do this year. You know, and even in like reality, outside of even within kayfabe, it's like Roman's had his title for how long? And those are two titles merged together. Seth just got his title last year, and it only exists because Roman had all the other titles. I'm going after Roman. Like, and it's like you said, his story is with Roman, not with Seth. So he closed the book on the Seth story last year. This Roman one is very much not finished. And of course, Cody has got to finish his story. One last question regarding this, and that is, what will main event night one of WrestleMania? Because the prevailing thought, was that you main event night two with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, which has not been announced yet, not official, but we, you know, these are all assumptions. And night one would have been main evented with CM Punk versus Seth Rollins for the world title, and that would have been a hell of a double main event weekend for WrestleMania 40. Now CM Punk is out. In my opinion, and I'll throw it to you first, Phil, this opens the door for another match that's not involving Seth Rollins. What would you do with night one of WrestleMania in the main event?
I like the idea of going with a women's match one night, women's world title match one night, and then the men's on the other night, like they did twice, I think. I'm trying to remember.
They did it in 2021. I don't think they've done it since. I think
yeah, you're right.
Last year was the tag titles.
Tags was last year. Well, I don't remember what 22 was off the top of my head.
It was Steve Austin.
Oh, Austin and Owens. That's right. Yeah. And then, so it's looking like Rhea and Becky on the one side of the women's, and probably Bayley and Io on the other. As much as I like Bayley and she's one of my favorite performers, I don't see Bayley and Io as a Mania ending match. I'm not even sure I see Rhea and Becky as a Mania ending match. And it's strange. Like they've booked the women's division in so many weird ways over the last 365 that I'm not sure. Maybe it is the Rollins match. Like I Rollins and Gunther, if it's that, at least strikes me as something you could main event tonight with, but I'm not sure about anything else that they have in the hopper. Like, if some of the hypotheticals ended up happening that people were talking about over the last couple of months, Austin and Punk, you know, those type of things, you know, like, yeah, those are options for you. But I don't think that they have those anymore. And I think they just have to stick to their titles that they have.
What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Rollins because I like Bayley EO, but I just don't think they're going to be given that spot. I would like to see it. They do have 2 months to build a really good, you know, I said on the Royal Rumble Roundtable, I want to see like an evolution type storyline where, you know, they turn on Bayley.
That'd be dope.
Or Bayley, like, you know, sees the light kind of thing and turns face and, you know, goes that way. I just don't know how they do that right now. But I would also say Rhea, Becky, but I have the feeling that Rhea is going to main event Elimination Chamber against Nia Jax now. So I feel like that's going to be the main event at that pay-per-view. So I don't think they would have Rhea main event, even though it would be nice, you know, give the same women's champion, you know, two back-to-back main events of PLE now. That'd be awesome. But I just don't think they're going to do that. So my gut feeling is they're going to stick with the Rollins match, whoever he faces. On night one,
I'm gonna go in a different direction. All right, I see what y'all saying, but also that's an aside. It is kind of wild. It's wild to see that they're building a whole PLE around Rhea Ripley, pretty much. Like, essentially, like they're gonna put her in the main event in Australia. Like, that's pretty wild to think about that a woman could be in that position. That's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's a dope position. It's like, how far we've come in women's wrestling in the last couple of years. We still got ways to go, but that's a pretty cool thing. And her and Bianca Belair on the cover of WWE 2K24 too. Also big, I think a big deal, and that's really cool. But I also think that this is an opportunity to get the women back in the main event of a WrestleMania. It's been since 2021. They knocked it out of the park then. Was Sasha and Becky Lynch, not Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go with Bayley and Io, even though I agree with you both on that. I think the story is being well told so far, and I think they will have a great match. I think that'll be a great match for Sunday, either as an opener or in the middle, either one of those two spots, because I think those are both prime spots for a match, opening and in the middle, and of course you got the main event. But the main event obviously would be whatever Roman Reigns is doing on that card. So night one, I wouldn't mind if it's Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. I think they've teased it already. So that clearly means obviously they're investing into it. They've teased it in January. The match wouldn't potentially happen until April. And yeah, maybe at the moment it doesn't feel like a main event type of match, but that's what we have the next 2 months for. They can really invest in it even more and build it up to that point to where we're not wondering why is this in closing out the show. Like again, they've done it before. I think Rhea Ripley has earned that spot. She's one of the hottest acts they have, period, men or women. She sells merch. She sells a lot of merch. And she's her look, striking look, is transcendent. Like, people outside of wrestling want to know who is that. So I think she's earned it. Becky Lynch is obviously a big star. She's been on television shows. She's, you know, big money Becks, whatever you want to call her. She's obviously earned that spot as well. I don't think it could go wrong with Becky and Rhea main eventing night one of WrestleMania here in Philly. I'd be cool with that as a viewer. But I understand that, you know, Seth is still involved. He's still a world champion, obviously, and whoever he faces will probably be a big deal. If it's Gunther, it's a big deal. If it's someone else, it's a big deal. But I think this is a good time to get the women back in there and to show like, hey man, we are serious about this women's revolution thing. We've had twice now women main event a night of WrestleMania.
You know what?
I think that would be a good feather in their caps.
You know what about those matches also? If we do end up with Io and Bayley in that spot, one thing WWE does like, and again, it's hard to say that because it's a different WWE now anyway, but one thing that they do like doing is first time things in the main event of WrestleMania. And thinking back at the past 39 WrestleManias, I can't think of another time a Japanese wrestler was in the main event of WrestleMania. And I know that they are looking to make some significant inroads into that country in the years ahead. So I think Io, or if it ended up being Okada against Seth, being in that spot would really open some eyes up in the country of Japan if a Japanese wrestler, much like many American wrestlers, have main evented Wrestle Kingdom, if a Japanese wrestler main evented WrestleMania for the first time.
That's a great point, and you're right that they're trying to make some more inroads in Japan. And if it's if this is all big ifs, if they somehow land Okada and you put him right against Seth, you're damn right that's a main event of night one of WrestleMania. Like, you got Okada. Yeah. So, but yeah, it, until that happens, we don't know that that's going to happen, obviously. But for now, I'll stick with the women. I'll stick with the ladies on this one. But Nick, you want to ready to wrap it up for episode 385 of the Straight Shooters?
Sure.
Okay. Well, Phil, thanks for joining us, my good sir. We appreciate this convo we had over the last hour with you. Where can people find you at out here on these interwebs?
That's a great question. Wherever you get your podcasts, Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations drops every Monday with some other bonus episodes here and there. And when we do them, on the former Twitter at Under the Ring, that's pretty much the two best ways to catch me. I've been following this stuff for a long time, and I love all the different opportunities it's afforded me, especially lately.
Yeah, shout out to you, Phil. You got the podcast Under the Ring just celebrated the 100th episode. I was honored to be a part of it under some dark circumstances, but hey, I was
the worst possible news story we could be talking about on episode 100. Right. You know, the most sordid tale in WWE history. But
exactly, and
you gotta cover the good and the bad. You know, if you're covering wrestling, it's a whole lot of things all the time.
Absolutely, and also big up to Phil. He's on these press conferences. He's asking the tough questions. So shout out to you, and then shout out to everybody else asking the tough questions at these press conferences. But you know, Phil's out here. He's doing his thing. Check him out, Under the Ring. Hopefully I'll be on again if Phil will have me. Obviously I've been on multiple times in the past and have enjoyed my time each time. So check it out, Under the Ring. He gets great guests, y'all, like big time guests. You had Bayley on recently.
Yep.
So you've had,
I was getting the winner of the Royal Rumble to set up the Royal Rumble, but she told me she was winning the Royal Rumble and I didn't believe her.
Look, get that Under the Ring rub, man. that didn't sound right, but you know, the wrestling lingo is weird.
Where you get your barbecue sauce?
Rub is a weird, like,
yeah, it anyway, is. It's no a bad turn of phrase, but you know, that wrestling lingo gets you in trouble sometimes.
I think of like barbecue when I think of rub.
There you go. More of a, I don't usually like the dry rubs typically. Yeah. More of a wet rub kind of guy.
Yeah, that's where I went with it.
Right. But yeah, check Phil out, Under the Ring. Great guests, great podcasts, great conversations. Check him out on all, wherever you can find podcasts. On any platform out there that has podcasts, I should say, go check them out. Nick, your turn to plug away, please.
You can follow me at _Pacone on Twitter/X and follow us at Shooters Radio. And on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/Shooters Radio. And you can catch this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, but also at foxphlgambler.com. And hopefully our wrestling roundtables will also be up there soon. They're uploaded. We're just waiting to get the link there. So, what's our first one? 3 years ago. So we got some good ones. Comment if you want to go in the archives and see like our picks from WrestleMania 38. You know, it's there. So, it will be there eventually at foxphlgambler.com.
I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. You can find me there or potentially find me out here in these streets. You can find my writing over at Wrestling Junkie. You know, work with Phil Strummer colleagues over at Wrestling Junkie. You can find my writing, my columns over at WrestlingJunkie.USAtoday.com. I haven't had a column this week, but I had a whole bunch of columns last week, including one on the lawsuit filed against Vince McMahon and WWE and John Laurinaitis, an extensive column, a lot of thoughts about that, and in explaining in detail why WWE needs to pretty much clean house, or not really clean house, but change the culture within their house at the very least. So again, check it out over at WrestlingJunkie.USAtoday.com. I was joined on that conversation on episode 100 of Under the Ring by our editor, Nick Tilwalk, over there. So shout out to Nick Tilwalk over at Wrestling Junkie. Again, WrestlingJunkie.USAtoday.com. But until next time, for Phil Strum and Nick Bacone, my name is Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 385 of The Straight Shooters, and we'll catch y'all again next week.